Good morning. Good afternoon. Today, we are going to talk about the topic of Hashgacha Pratis, and specifically, I would like to consider it insofar as it relates to Parshas HaShavua. We'll begin with a famous question, which is asked by the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva Perek Vav. The Rambam asks, this is your first sheet, V'halo kasav b'torah v'avadum v'inu osam, hare gazar al ha-mitzrim la'asos ra. V'ksiv, v'kama am asher, v'kama am azev zanach hare Elohei nechar ha'aretz, hare gazar al Yisrael la'avod kochavim u'mazalos, v'lama nifra mehem. There are more sheets. So the Rambam asks the following question. We know that in the Bris Ben HaBesarim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avram Avinu that he is going to, that the Mitzrim are going to persecute the Jewish people. And not only that, but he tells them that they will be punished for that persecution. And indeed, in this week's Parsha, we read about their punishment. We have in Parshas Vayera the first seven of the 10 Makos. And the question the Rambam asks is that this doesn't seem to be very fair. After all, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that the Egyptians are going to persecute the Jewish people, to enslave the Jewish people, why should they be punished for doing this? And the Rambam answers, Lefi shelo gazar al ish ploni hayadua, sheyehu hazone, ela kol echad ve'echad me'osan hazonim lavod kochavim umazalos, ilu lo ratza lavod lo haya oved.
And the Rambam gives an example. He answers, essentially, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not decree on any particular individual to enslave the Jewish people or to serve idolatry. Rather, he said, generally it will be the case that, in our example, the Egyptians will persecute the Jewish people. That's the answer that the Rambam gives. The Ravid asks that this doesn't make very much sense, it would seem. In the next source, reading from the middle, V'almi chalag zeirascha al osan shelo zanu halolonis kaim zeirascha. This doesn't make any sense. After all, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu was gozer, so who was the zeira chal upon? Was it chal upon the people who persecuted them? Clearly not, because the Rambam says it wasn't chal on anybody. Well, then who was it chal on? Or, to put it a little simply, how could God know with certainty that this was going to happen if the gzeira wasn't chal on anybody? Maybe everybody would have decided to simply not persecute the Jewish people. What does it mean when it says that God decreed that this would happen, but not that it would happen on any particular person? And therefore, the Ravid, and similarly the Ramban in his Pershal HaTorah, and Sefer Bereishis do not like this answer, and they give different answers. We're not going to focus on their answer, but one interesting hara, one of the answers that the Ramban gives, and I think the Ravid alludes to a similar thing, is that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu decrees that a person, or commands that a person do something that generally speaking is immoral, like kill or murder or persecute or enslave, then if they do it l'shem shamayim, then it's okay, it's justified, even though normally it's wrong to persecute, but if God says to do so, then it's okay. However, if you don't do it l'shem shamayim, so then it's wrong. And therefore, if a person goes beyond that which they were commanded to do, so clearly they weren't doing it because it was at tzivui Hashem, because God commanded, otherwise they would have done what they were instructed. Rather, they went further. And therefore, the Egyptians were punished, A, because they went further than that which God had commanded, but B, because they didn't do it l'shem shamayim. He gives an example. Eliyahu instructs one of the Malchei Yisrael to kill off Beis Achav. Now, that was a mitzvah, and yet they were punished for doing so because they went too far. They didn't do it l'shem shamayim. And that's because, generally speaking, killing is wrong. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded it, it's okay. But only if you do it because Hashem said. As opposed to something which is overall good, like a mitzvah. When it comes to a mitzvah, if I do it l'shem shemayim, great. But even if I don't, we say mitoch shelo lishma balishma. When it comes to something like killing or persecuting or enslavement, which is generally wrong, so then it's only if you do it l'shem shemayim. That's one of the answers given by the other Rishonim, but not the answer of the Rambam. So we have to try to answer the Rambam, the question that the Ravid asks on the Rambam, which is, again, the Rambam's answer is God did not decree on any particular individual that they enslave the Jewish people. He just said, in general, the Jewish people will be enslaved and persecuted. God didn't decree on any individual, but still, asks the Ravid, then how could we be certain that the decree would be carried out? Maybe everybody would decide not to do it. So that's question number one, the question of the Ravid. The second question I'd like to consider with you is a question that is alluded to by the Lecha Mishnah over here. The Lecha Mishnah asks the following. The Rambam, in the previous chapter, meaning chapter 5 of Hilchos Tshuva, asks a very similar question to this. This is the famous question that there would seem to be a contradiction between divine foreknowledge and free will. If God knows what is going to happen in the future, then how could a person still have the freedom of choice whether or not to do it? We know that free will is a basic tenet of Judaism. All of religion is based on free will. If we didn't have freedom, so then it would not be fair or just that HaKadosh Baruch Hu punish us or reward us for doing that which is right or wrong. So a basic tenet of Yadus is freedom, and yet God also knows what's going to happen in advance. And this is a famous and age-old contradiction. The Rambam asks this in Parakeh, and he gives an answer. More or less, he answers that the question only relates to divine knowledge, human knowledge, that there's a contradiction between foreknowledge and free will when it comes to human knowledge, but God's knowledge is different than human knowledge, and therefore the contradiction doesn't exist within divine knowledge. Sometimes this is understood to mean that since God exists outside of time, the question doesn't exist. That's not our issue now. But the Lecha Mishnah asks, this question is essentially the same question as that. And yet he gives two different answers. In Parak Ehei, he asks, how could God know the future and yet we still have free will? And gives one answer. In Parak Vav, he asks, how could God say that the Jewish people would be enslaved by the Egyptians and the Egyptians still be punished? And gives a different answer. He asks the same question in Parak Hei and Parak Vav, and yet gives two different answers. And that's very strange. The Rambam is very, very organized, methodological. It's inconceivable that the Rambam would ask the same question one chapter after another and give two different answers without at all being misyaches to the fact that he's being repetitive. It must be that the question that he's asking in Parak Vav is different than the question he asked in Parak Hei, and therefore he gives a different answer. The Or Sameach gives one very interesting answer to the Lecha Mishnah's question. If we have time, we'll get to the Or Sameach's answer, but I would like to suggest a different answer today. So those are the two questions we have on the Rambam to summarize what we've seen so far. The Rambam asks, how could the Egyptians be punished for carrying out God's plan of enslaving the Jewish people? He answers that each individual Egyptian still had free will whether or not to do evil. And we had two questions. One is, if everybody had free will, then maybe the plan never would have been carried out. And B, isn't this question essentially the question that he asks in the previous chapter, namely there's a contradiction between divine foreknowledge and free will? Okay. Yes?
Does the Rambam hold that the Gezerah was a Gezerah that, like a commandment to the Egyptians, that they should, as a group, not that it was a prediction that the Egyptians would do, but it was actually a commandment?
So that's a good question, and that actually relates to a point that I wasn't going to get into. But if you look carefully, the Ravid and the Rambam ask two different questions. The Rambam is asking one question. The Ravid's asking they shouldn't be punished because, after all, this was a mitzvah. And the answer is they didn't do it l'shem shamayim, or they overdid it. Whereas the Rambam's asking not that this is a gzeira, but rather the question is how could there still be freedom if it was a gzeira, and if there isn't freedom, then how could they be punished? So your point is a very good point, and it's a subtlety that explains part of the machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid. Okay, so those are our two questions. To answer these questions, I'd like to present to you the Mahalech of the Ramchal with respect to the nature of Hashgacha in the world, the nature of providence. This is an idea that the Ramchal has in many places in Derech Hashem, most at length in Das Tfunos, which is where we're going to read from, in Klach Pesle Chachma and the like. It's a very, very important yesod that we need to understand when looking at the world, and specifically looking at the events in the world. When we look at the world, when we look at history, when we read the newspaper, and we wonder what is going on in the world, how should a Ben Torah approach current events and historical events and history? This Ramchal is central to answering those questions. So we'll read it together. We're going to start from Das Tvunos, Simin Kuf Samech Vav. Amar HaSeichel. The Das Tvunos is actually a conversation between the Seichel and the Neshama. Another time, perhaps, we could talk about what that means. But it's a dialogue. So the Seichel said, Hine, Kevan Shesam Ha'adon Baruch Hu Hanhagas Haschar Ve'onesh, Me'ata Yagia L'chol Adam Kefima Asav. Essentially, what the Ramchal writes is that God relates to the world in two different ways. One is what he calls hanhagas haschar va'onesh, or hanhagas hamishpat. That means that God gives everybody according to that which they deserve. If a person is good, they're rewarded. If they're bad, they're punished. As the pasuk says, hatzur tamim pa'alau ki chol derachav mishpat. God is pure, he's righteous, he's absolutely just. Nobody would ever get anything that they don't deserve. And accordingly, the events that happen in a person's life are specifically tailored to that which they need. Sometimes if a person experiences suffering, it may be as a punishment. Other times it may be a wake-up call, trying to get them to change their path. But the events that happen in this world, and specifically the events that happen in a person's life, are specifically tailored to them and what they need, and are just. And that's obvious, because God is just. Hatzur tamim pa'alau ki chol derachav mishpat. That is one way in which God relates to the world. Me'ata, yagia l'chol adam kefi ma'asav. A person is going to be acted upon according to that which they deserve. Tov l'tovim v'ra l'ra'im. Amnam, ha'etza ha'amuka shel ha'adon baruch hu, hu l'galgel ha'dvarim ba'ofen, Shelo tia anhaga ela letov, velo yia mitzius ra klal baolam, vizen nikra tikun hahanhaga atzma vizikucha. The amnam, kede lasos ha tikun ha klali haze, yitzterich lihisnaheg al pishoresh ha inyan shel mitzius ha tov vehara. Okay, let's try to explain this. There is, Ramchal says, a second hanhaga in the world. That's what he calls hanhagas hayichud. Yichud coming from the word echad. The notion here is that there is direction in the world. There's a purpose to the creation of the world. There's direction. There's history. It's a teleological approach to history. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with a purpose. What is that purpose? The purpose is to reveal Achdus Hashem. Like we say, Bayomahu Yiyeh Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad. In fact, according to Rashi, Shema Yisrael itself alludes to that idea. Shema Yisrael, Hashem, who is now Elokeinu, Bayomahu Yiyeh Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad. The entire world will recognize God's oneness. The entire world will see that there is no other existence, meaning to say no other true or necessary existence besides God, that God controls the show, that everything in the world and everything that happens in history is ultimately designed to teach and show the world this message. that ain od milvado. And there are many, many psukim, which he quotes here, that highlight that that is the point of history. And it's not just the Ramchal that says this idea. In a couple minutes, we'll see how the Ramban makes the same point. And it's in psukim, it's in gemaras and the like. The purpose is legalos kvod malchuso, to show God's oneness. Now, if there is a purpose to history, if it's meant to carry out a specific goal, that means that certain things have to happen in history. History can't just be haphazard. Moreover, history cannot just be a response to my own personal free choices. Meaning to say, if all there was is hanhagas hamishpat, what we talked about before, the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives tov latovim, vira la'ra'im, that God acts in history as a response to our own actions. If we are good, or if I am good, God will respond one way to me. If I am bad, if I freely choose evil, God will respond a different way to me. If the entire world was run based on hanhagas hamishpat, in which God responds to our actions, then there wouldn't be able to be this greater plan, this purpose, this direction in history. And therefore, there has to be another level of hashgacha, another level of hanhaga. And that's what he calls hanhagas hayichud. That's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu acts and responds in the world with a particular direction. There is purpose. And what is that purpose? Legalos kvod malchuso. According to Ramchal, the entire existence of evil is only for that purpose. Why does evil exist? Evil exists because through evil, we could see that, in fact, there is no true evil. In other words, if the purpose is for us to recognize God's oneness, for us to recognize that there is nothing else besides him, that ain't od milvado, well, the only way for us to truly recognize and understand that ain't od milvado is if we see that there is a hava mina fakert, if we can consider the possibility that there's something else besides God. And then we understand, no, there is not. Mashalama davar dome. If the whole world was green, there was nothing else besides green, so you wouldn't understand that there's such a thing as colors, there's such a thing as non-green. It's only when, at least if there were two colors, there's green and something else, that you could say, okay, well, green is a color. And if there are many colors, you can even define green more specifically. Green is not red and it's not blue. Trees are green, but the ocean isn't, right? So evil has to exist for the oneness of God to be presented to the world. Or to put it differently, there has to be Hester Panim for there to be Gilui Panim. God has to hide himself so that at a certain point we could see his existence and his oneness. And all of Das Tfunos, which is a very important work of the Maral, if we were to summarize it in one sentence, is this point, that the existence of evil is here in order for it to be decimated, in order for it to be disproven. Now, this gets into a broader question, many broader questions. What is the nature of evil? What is the reason for tzaddik v'ralo? Is evil a real existence, as the Ramchal implies, or is it just a lack of goodness, as the Rambam asserts in Mar Nevuchim? They likewise debate about the nature of darkness. Is darkness an actual existence or the absence of light? You can see that in the Ramban al-Atar next week's parsha when he talks about Makas Choshech. This question relates to all of these, and we're not going to get into the details now, but that is the reason for evil. And that is the purpose of all of history. So if there is this second dimension of Hashgacha, of Anhagas HaYichud, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to allow for the existence of evil in order that he can deny that existence ultimately, and that we are able to see his oneness. So as we said before, this requires that God act in the world with an additional level of hanhaga. He can't just act through hanhagas hamishpat, which is just a response, because if it was just a response, then his plan may never be carried out. But he also has to intervene to carry out the purpose and the goal of history. Let's continue reading in the Ramchal. We'll skip to the next paragraph. The Amnam Shoresh Himatzei Hara Behanhaga Kfar Pirashnuhu Shehu Mitam Gilu Yehudo Yisbarach. As we said, the reason for Ra in the Hanhaga of the world is for Gilui Kevodo Yisbarach, like we explained. Shetzorach Legalos Hara Ulahanicho Lasos Koma Shebechuko. God has to allow evil to exist and allow it to do all that it can carry out. L'haros achar kach yichud shlitaso yizborach behachziru oso letov. To show afterwards God's achdus when he restores everything to good. Umitam hazeh kol od sheyis'alim v'yastir panav ha'adon baruch hu v'yaniach l'ra l'hizgaber ad hagvul ha'acharon. So long as God allows evil to increase until the final level, she'efshar lo lehisgaber, dahainu ad churban ha'olam, until the decimation of the world, v'lo ad bechlal, hine ze yetam yoser lehigalos, v'leheraos achar kach amitas yichudo yisbarach. The more powerful evil gets, the more it will become apparent that God is true and one and necessary and good. And therefore, at the end of time, evil will reach its ultimate power and will go to its final stage before it's finally vanquished. That's the idea of Milchemes Gog u'Magog, the Ramchal explains. That's the idea of Chevle Mashiach, why it is that in the period of time preceding the coming of Mashiach, there's going to be such suffering. That's why there's going to be, in the time preceding the Mashiach, such chutzpah in the world and such rejection of God and the like. And that's also why evil triumphed in its highest degree right before the Geula in Mitzrayim, because it's only from the darkest of the night that the light will be most perceived. That's why Geula always comes suddenly when you least expect it. And thus the Ramchal explains that there has to be these two ways of God relating to the world. Continuing in the next paragraph. V'amnam haschar v'onesh eno tigbores hara ki al kolpanim ein ra elarayim. Ultimately, of course, these two hanhagos are true at the same time. Ultimately, even though God has this purpose and world and this direction, which means that Ra is going to become more and more and more powerful, and which inevitably means that even righteous people are going to have to suffer with the power of Ra, nevertheless, the first Tanhaga is still true. It's still true. Hatzur tamim pa'alo ki chol derachav mishpat. El emuna ve'ein avel tzadik v'yasharhu. God is ultimately just. Skipping a couple lines. V'hainu, the fourth line in this paragraph. Ki lefi haseder v'anhaga hazos, ein mashgichin al zuchus o hachova. When the hanhagas hayichud is most powerful, so then God cannot look at zuchus and chova. What this means is the following. Because history is a process, because there are stages and there is direction, then necessarily it's going to be the case that there are going to be times in history where hanhagas hamishpat is more dominant, and there are going to be times in history, and especially in the times leading up to the Geula, where hanhagas hayichud is going to be more dominant. And during those times of hanhagas hayichud, such as the period of Chevle Mashiach, memela, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not be able to give those who are righteous, reward them with schar in this world, and punish those that are evil. Because if God was giving everybody who deserved tov, tov, and everyone who deserved ra, ra, that would, in and of itself, negate evil. There would be no room for the Hizgabras Hara, which would ultimately lead to the Geula and the Hizgalus of Kavod Yehudo Yisborach. And therefore, during certain periods of time, necessarily it has to be the case that it's going to appear in this world that the righteous especially are suffering, that the wicked are prospering. V'chol zman tigboris hara, hine gam hatovim yitzarchu la'amo tachas oni hara. During this period, even the good people are going to have to experience suffering. Lo mipnei shahadin kach, not because they deserve this. In other words, it's not based on hanahagas ha-mishpat. Ella shahashat zricha l'kach, because it's necessary based on hanahagas ha-yichud. Ki al kol panim, achar kach yikablu schar shalem kshiyachzer hatov v'yizgale v'yishlot. Ultimately, everybody does get that which they deserve. Whether it's in the Olam HaEmes, or it's with the coming of the Geula, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like we said, Tzadik V'Yashar Hu, nobody is going to get what they don't deserve. The righteous will always be rewarded for their righteousness. The wicked will always be punished for their wickedness. However, in terms of the Ashkacha in the world, in this Olam HaTachton, there will be times when one is dominant over the other. Turn the page. Let's read one more paragraph based on this, and then we're going to go back to some of our questions. This last one is, it says, Klach Pesach Ein Ches, it's from a different sefer of the Ramchal. Uvesov kol hasivuv yiyah tikun hashalem al pi kol ma she'naaseh im tov v'im ra chas v'shalom. What that means is that in the end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan will be carried out, no matter what people choose. And that is this Hanhagas HaYichud. So now let's go back to the questions we started off in the Rambam and try to understand them a little better. The Rambam asks, why is it, or how can the Egyptians be punished if, after all, Hashem was nigzar that they be that the Jewish people be persecuted by the Egyptians? And the answer is that it wasn't decreed on any individual. What is the Rambam saying? The Rambam, and I'm not here trying to say that the Rambam agrees with every single point of the Ramchal, but his basic yesod, I think, is something that everyone accepts, and is mefurish, as we'll see shortly, in many psalms. The answer is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has two hanhagos in the world. He has the hanhagas ha-mishpat, which everybody has free will, and he has the hanhagas ha-yichud, in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a plan and a purpose and a direction in history. And somehow or another, and we'll try to answer a little bit how this is the case shortly, but somehow or another, both are true. HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows people to have free will, free choice, and yet at the same time, he's able to carry out his plan in history. He's able to have this direction. Somehow or another, both could be carried out simultaneously. And that's what the Rambam is saying over here. There is Hanagas HaMishpat. Every single Egyptian had free will. No Egyptian had to punish or persecute the Jewish people. Everyone could have chosen to punish, to persecute, to enslave, to murder, or not to do so. In the Holocaust, every single German had that choice. They could have been like the Chassidei Umos HaOlam, who rescued the Jewish people, who hid them, the Mesiras Nefesh, helped the Jews, or they could have been like those Nazis who murdered and killed and pillaged. Every single German and Pole and Czech and Italian had that choice. And every single Egyptian had that choice. But at the same time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a plan in history. The plan was that the Jewish people needed to be persecuted and enslaved in Egypt. That was the plan that he told Avraham Avinu at the Bris Bein HaBesarim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a plan with the Holocaust. We don't know why. We can't possibly fathom why. But it happened. It happened because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted it to happen. It happened for a reason. And both the Anhagas HaYichud and the Anhagas HaMishpat took place simultaneously. Yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted the enslavement of the Jewish people. He predicted it. He told it to Avram Avinu. But at the same time, every Egyptian still had free will. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted the Holocaust to happen, yet every German had free will. And that's his answer. And thus, the Egyptians are held responsible, even if at the same time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu predicted this and made this gzeira. And that's the answer to the Ravid's kasha. Now, again, we haven't answered how this is possible, but that this is the case, that's pashat. And that's what the Rambam is answering. And now we could also understand the Lecha Mishnah's kasha. Remember, what did the Lecha Mishnah ask? He asked the following. Didn't he already address this question in Parakeh? In Parakeh, he asked, there's a contradiction between divine foreknowledge and free will, and gave an answer that kilo machshavosai machshavoseichem, that with respect to human knowledge, there's a contradiction between foreknowledge and free will, but not with respect to divine knowledge. What's this question? And what's this answer? According to what we're saying, this is a different question with a different answer. There he was asking a philosophical question, really an epistemological question. How is it possible that God can have knowledge of the future, especially of contingencies, if it could go one way or the other? And the answer is, let's assume that he exists outside of time. That's an epistemological question. Here he's asking a very different question. He's asking, how is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have a plan in history and still relate to each person as they deserve? How can there be Hanhagas HaYichud and Hanhagas HaMishpat? It's a different question and calls for a different answer. Here, it's not an epistemological question, but it's a question about Hashgacha. How does HaKadosh Baruch Hu relate to the world? And the answer is, here too, both Hanhagos exist simultaneously. Yes, individuals have free will, but at the same time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a plan and has direction. And thus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have a plan for the Shibud Mitzrayim and relate that to Avraham Avinu in the Bris Bein HaBesarim. And at the same time, every single Egyptian has free will. Yes?
Although I hear the distinction, it seems that if you really boil it down, it's really basically the same question.
I disagree. But let's
all right.
Let me try to explain the answer, because we haven't yet explained how, and I understand there, it's a very subtle difference, but we haven't exactly explained yet how you resolve these two things. How is it possible that at the same time both Hanhagos are active? With this, you could also understand a very important Ramban in this week's Parsha. The Ramban, this is not on your source sheets. The Ramban asks the following. The Ramban is bothered by the question of how it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could harden Paro's heart. After all, we have free will. We read in this week's Parsha that Hashem is going to harden Paro's heart. And the Ramban gives two answers. His first answer is an answer which is more or less given by the Rambam, which is that at some times HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take away a person's free will as a punishment for their sins that they committed freely. This doesn't usually happen. It's quite rare. But if a person sins in an extraordinarily egregious fashion, so then they can be punished by loss of free will. And especially in this case, it was Mida Keneged Mida. Paro hardened his own heart. The first five Makos, it doesn't say God hardened his heart. It says Paro hardened his own heart. And therefore he's punished with the loss of freedom. However, the second answer the Ramban gives is what I'd like to consider with you now. The second answer is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't actually take away Paro's free will. However, instead, it says that he gives him strength. Now, the simple understanding of the Ramban is the following, but when we read it carefully, we'll see he's saying something much deeper. The simple understanding of the Ramban is a very, very pashut idea. If I go ahead and I force someone to do something, I twist their arm until they say uncle, right? I twist and I twist and twist. They don't want to say it, they don't want to say it, but when their arm's about to break, they say it. So will I say that they did that freely? On one hand, yes, they had freedom, but practically they were coerced. They didn't really have freedom. The pain was too great. Likewise, Paro, what was his will? What was his desire? His desire was not to allow the Jewish people to leave Egypt, as we see from the first five plagues. After the first five Makos, Paro said, I will not let them go. That was even before God hardened his heart. And thus, when he was going to allow the Jewish people, mitoch kovet hamakos, because of the strength, because of the coercion of the makos, to be freed after the first five plagues, so that wasn't really what he wanted to do. He was being coerced. And thus, God gave him the strength to do what he wanted. The Lashon of Vayichazekes Libo is very meduyach according to this, because he gave him strength. It doesn't say, right, chazak. He gave him the strength to do what he really wanted. That's what the Ramban says. But if we read it carefully, he says something much, much more tief, which relates exactly to what I'm saying tonight, what the Ramchal is saying today. Says the Ramban, V'tam ha'sheni, ki ayu chatziya makos alav bepish'au, ki lo ne'emar bahen rak v'yichazek lev paro, v'yichabedes libo. Hinei, lo ratza l'shalcham l'kavod Hashem. Paro did not want to free the Jewish people l'kavod Hashem. Aval, kasher gavru ha-makos alav, v'nila lisbolosam, when the makos became too powerful and he lacked the ability to withstand them, rach libo, v'haya nimlach l'shalchan mikovid ha-makos, his heart became weakened, and he was going to agree to send them based on the pressure of the makos. Lo, lasos ritzon baro, not because this was ratzon Hashem. V'az, hiksha Hashem esrucho, v'imetzes levavo, at that point God hardened his heart, l'ma'an saper shemo, in order to show his great name, kinyan shekasuv v'hisgadalti v'hisgadashti v'nodati le'enei hagoyim rabim v'gomer. These are the psukim in Yechezkel. They come when Yechezkel talks about the milchemes Gog u'Magog in Perek Lamed Ches. And the result of the milchemes Gog u'Magog is the ultimate Kiddush Hashem, v'hisgadalti v'hisgadashti v'nodati le'enei goyim rabim, that my name will become great and sanctified and known throughout the whole entire world. That's where Kaddish comes from. V'hisgadal v'hisgadash shemei rabah is based on that pasuk. And that is the theme of Kaddish. Kaddish is all about how we pray that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name become great, glorified, and magnified. Yehei Shmei Rabbah Mivorach. We declare, may God's name become great, may it become one. Bayom Ahu Yeh Hashem Echad U'Shmo Echad. Right now we live in a world where there's evil, where there's a contradiction between his name and his essence, meaning to say that we don't perceive his existence in the world. When we talk about God's name, we mean to say the way in which he relates to the world. So we daven in Kaddish that God's name will become one, will become great. Yisgadal v'yisgadash mei rabah. V'yisgadalti v'yisgadashti le'enei goyim rabim. That was the purpose of the Makos. The purpose of the Makos was not to allow the Jewish people to go free. On the contrary, he kept the Jewish people in Egypt so as to carry out the Makos. The purpose, as the psukim say explicitly, is in order to show God's greatness. L'man teidun ki ani Hashem. Before the first three makos, l'man teidun ki ein kamoni b'keretz aretz, l'man yedun ki anochi Hashem b'kerev aretz. It says at the beginning of Bishalach how he hardened Paro's heart, l'man rebos ososai, right? The purpose was here in Yetzias Mitzrayim, as it will be, lasad lava with the Gula Shlema, to be megala kavodo, to show the world in a clear and unambiguous manner that God exists and runs the show, and there's nothing else besides him. That was the purpose of the Makos. L'kadesh shem shemayim. Says the Ramban beautifully. Says the Ramban, if Paro would have allowed the Jewish people to go l'ratzon Hashem, so that would have created the greatest Kiddush Hashem, and he would have not had to experience the Makos. But lo ratzo l'shalchem l'kavod Hashem. Paro did not want to allow them to go l'kavod Hashem. He refused. So then, says the Ramban, that same gilui kavodo, that same Kiddush Hashem, had to be carried out in a different way. And what was that way? Through the ten makos. Through Kriyas Yamsuf. Because ultimately the purpose was going to be achieved. And what was the purpose? Viskadalti viskadashti le'enei ha'amim. That purpose, that goal, that toeles was going to happen. The question was only how. And how depended on Paro's free will. Had Paro wanted to let the Jews go l'ratzon Hashem, then that's exactly what would have happened. And the Kiddush Hashem would have happened that way. But because Paro refused, and he didn't allow the Jewish people to go, so then the Kiddush Hashem had to happen in a different way. Like we read in the Ramchal, Uvesov kol asivuv yatikun hashalem, al pi mashenaseh im tov v'imra chas v'shalom. It's going to happen one way or the other. The only question is how. Based on the free choices that a human makes, and especially people that are like kings, that are important in history, based on those choices, that is going to determine how the Ratzon Hashem, how the purpose, how the goal of history is going to carry itself out. It's going to happen either way. The goal, the end result will be the same. Viskadalti viskadashti, le'enei hagoyim rabim. But the question is only how. In that sense, Paro's free will was preserved. And yet, the Ratzon Hashem was going to happen one way or the other. Here we see the Ramban mamish dealing with the two hanhagos that Ramchal presents. There's hanhagos HaMishpat and hanhagos HaYichud. And we asked, how could they both be true simultaneously? The Ramban is answering beautifully that that's the point. Hashem's will is going to be carried out one way or the other, but how it happens is going to depend on a person's free will. Thus, there is free will, even though the hanhaga will carry the plan, the goal, will happen either way. Had Paro decided to free the Jews l'ratzon Hashem and publicly declared, I see and recognize God's existence, had Paro freely chosen to do that, there wouldn't have been the Makos. And the Kiddush Hashem would have come about throughout without Makos. But because he refused, that same Kiddush Hashem had to happen in a different way. There is going to be the Anhagas HaYichud. There's going to be the plan. But how that plan happens is going to depend on the freedom of human choice. That's why we always talk about, when we talk about the Geula Shlema, how the goal is the same, the purpose, the end is the same, but it could happen through many ways, through many different purposes. Bita Akhishana, right? That's the Yesod of the Ramban. With this, we could understand a very difficult idea explained by from the Ari HaKadosh, as explained in the Sfarim of Reb Tzadok HaKohen. The Ari, in Sefer Arba Meo Shekel Kasef, writes the following. B'makom ha-bechira, sham ein makom li-yadiyah. U'v'makom ha-yadiyah, sham ein makom li-bechira. The Ari is dealing with the question that we alluded to earlier, the seeming contradiction between divine foreknowledge and free will. And he answers that in the place of freedom, there is no foreknowledge, and in the place of foreknowledge, there is no freedom. What does that mean? Reb Tzadok explains this means the following, and he talks about this in the context of tshuva. Reb Tzadok says something that at first is very, very alarming. He says, in Tzidkas HaTzadik, Os Mem, as well as many other places, Iker HaTshuva Hu, Ad SheYoyir Hashem Einav, SheYiyuz Donos Kizchuyos. Vatzalomar, SheYakir V'yavin SheKol Ma SheChata, HaYagam Ken V'Ritzon Hashem Yisparach. Says Reb Tzadok, what is tshuva shlema? It's when a person realizes that everything is Ratzon Hashem, whether it's his zchuyos or it's his averos. When he sinned, that was Ratzon Hashem, and when he did mitzvos, that was Ratzon Hashem. And if a person could realize that, then they could have what the Gemara Yuma says is tshuva shlema, whereas donos nasos zchuyos, where even their averos become zchuyos, become mitzvos. What does that mean? What does that mean? What does it mean when it says averos are also ratzon Hashem? And if averos are ratzon Hashem, then why is a person suffering and punished for them? And why would God decree? And what does the Ari mean when he says at the place of freedom there is no foreknowledge, in the place of foreknowledge there is no freedom? The Yesod, I think, is exactly what we're saying. That there are these two hanhagos. There's hanhagos hayichud and hanhagos hamishpat. The Hanhagas HaYichud is the notion that even Ra is Ratzon Hashem, like we saw from the Ramchal. Why does Ra exist? Ra is Ratzon Hashem, because it exists for a purpose. Yotzer Or Uvorichoshech Oseh Shalom Uvoreyas Hara. God is the cause for the existence of evil. He is the source for evil. Why? Why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu Boreyas Hara, according to, as the Navi Yeshayahu says? Legalos kvod yichudo, for a purpose, for a reason. And thus, even when a person sins, that too is Ratzon Hashem. Because it's part of God's plan and history of gilui kvodo. A person needs to have freedom, free will, in order for that to happen. A person has to have the ability to choose evil, and sometimes for humans to choose evil, for that purpose, for that teleology, for that goal to eventually be carried out. And so, says Reb Tzadok, ultimately it's true that both a mitzvah is Ratzon Hashem and an aveira is Ratzon Hashem. They're both to carry out this purpose. However, at the same time, a person has freedom. A person can choose which way they're going to go. Because like we said, either way, the Ratzon Hashem is going to be carried out. Yes, every single individual has freedom. But it's also true that ultimately God's plan and purpose and direction and history will happen. And thus, what is tshuva shlema? Says Reb Tzadok. It's when a person realizes that everything is Ratzon Hashem. If a person comes to a madrega, this is not an easy madrega to reach. Tshuva shlema is very difficult. But if a person comes to a madrega where they understand this, where they understand that Tov is Ratzon Hashem and even Ra is Ratzon Hashem, when they understand Ein Od Milvado, Ra is Ratzon Hashem because ultimately nothing exists besides God, so then even Zdonos Nasa Schuyos. Why? Because the Zdonos also play a role in being Megalik Vod Yehudo, in the carrying out of God's plan. But at the same time, we have freedom. And thus, B'makom B'chira, Leka Yediya. And B'makom Yediya, Leka B'chira. Oh, so now, we just have a couple more minutes left. We're going to get to the hardest part of this whole conversation, which is how. How can that be? How can it be that God has a plan with specific things happening, and yet people still have freedom of choice? So I think this is true on many levels. The first thing to realize is that ultimately this is a secret, a mystery that we can't fully understand. The Medrash Tanchuma in Parshas Vayeshev Siman Dalet highlights this point. It's on your source sheets. I'll read the bold. Bo rei k'shebar HaKadosh Baruch Hu es ha'olam miyom harishon bara malach hamaves. Minayin amar brachim mishem shenemar v'achoshech al pnei taho. Zeh malach hamaves. Hamachshich pneim shalbiyos. V'adam nivra b'shishi. The Medrash asks a very interesting question. The Yetzer Hara was created on the second day, but it only really came into the world, we're told, after the Chet of Adam HaRishon, right? When Adam HaRishon ate from the Eitz Hadas Tov Hara, so then the Yetzer Hara came into existence, whatever exactly that means. Let's say the Nefesh HaChaim, it entered him, it became internalized, became part of him. So how can both be true? And didn't Adam HaRishon have free will? He had the choice whether or not to eat from the Eitz Hadas, and yet the Yetzer Hara was already created on the second day. Says the Medrash, that's because of the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu reacts in the world. And that is, going to the beginning of the Medrash, L'chu chazo mif'alos Elohim, nora alila al b'nei Adam. Amr b'Yoshua ben Karcha, af hanoraos sha'ata mevi, aleinu b'alila ata mevian. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings about the things in the world b'alila. And thus, both are true. Yes, man had free will, whether or not to eat from the Eitz Hadas Tov Hara, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted there to be a Yetzer Hara, and it was created before then. And the Medrash later on explains this is what happens with Yosef, skipping down. V'am Reb Yudin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mevakish l'kaim zeres yado ateda. God wanted to carry out the promise he made to Avram Avinu at the Bris Ben HaBesarim, that the Jewish people would be slaves in Egypt. V'hevi alila l'chol dvarim elu, k'dei sheyav Yaakov es Yosef, v'yisne'ehu achiv, v'yimkru oso l'yishme'elim, v'yoriduhu l'mitzrayim, v'yishma Yaakov sheyosef chay b'mitzrayim, v'yorid es im ha'shvatim, v'yishtabdu sham. Have Yosef hurad mitzrayimah, al tikri hurad, el ahorid es aviv v'ashvatim l'mitzrayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avram Avinu yado atei deki geri azarach haberet l'olahem, that the Jewish people would be enslaved and persecuted in Egypt. And yet, it came about entirely through the free choices of human beings. Yaakov Avinu decided to favor Yosef. Yosef Avinu decided freely to flaunt that and irritate his brothers. His brothers decided freely to reciprocate and persecute and almost kill him and sell him to the Egyptians. Yosef decided freely in Egypt to not be with Eishes Potiphar. Etc., etc., etc. All of the steps, step after step after step, all of which were necessary to bring about the Shibud in Mitzrayim, came about through free choices. But yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Meirosh had told Avram Avinu, Yado Atei Daki Geri Azaracha. Both are true. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a plan. In this case, the plan was Yetzias Mitzrayim. But at the same time, people had free choice. And this idea comes out mamish from the psukim in the Parshios about Yosef and his brothers. The Medrash highlights it here, but the truth is, mamish pshuto shel mikra, again and again. Vayomer Yehuda, manu mar ladoni, manidabar manitzdadak, ha'alohim matzah savon avdacha. Yehuda says to Yosef, we are being persecuted because we are being punished for our choices that we made freely. And yet, Vayomer Yosef el Achav, Ani Yosef Achichem, Asher Machartem Osi Mitzrayim, you sold me to Egypt, but still, Ve'ata lo atem shalachtem Osi, Ki Elohim, Vayasimeni la'avu l'faro l'adon l'chol be'isol Moshe b'chol Eretz Mitzrayim. Within two psukim, Yosef contradicts himself. He says, Atem Machartem Osi Mitzrayim, and he says, Lo atem shalachtem Osi Mitzrayim, Ki Elohim. What's going on? The answer is Pashat, because both are true. There's Hanhagas HaMishpat, which is true, in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows human beings to make free choices. The Shvatim made free choices. It was Atem Mechartem Osi Mitzrayim. But don't think that was random or haphazard. No! Lo Atem Shalachtem Osi, Ki HaLokim. V'Atem Chashavtem Alai Ra'ah. You had intention for evil, but Elokim chashva l'tova l'man aso kayom hazel achayos amrav. God had better intentions. And even Yosef didn't know the purpose in the ultimate sense, because Yosef said, this just happened so I could sustain you during the period of famine. But the truth of the matter was, the famine was only there as an excuse to get the Jewish people down to Egypt so they would be persecuted. As Chazal beautifully point out, Yaakov Avinu sent Yosef to look for his brothers, Me'emek Chevron. Says Rashi, what does this mean? Me'etza amuka shel oso tzadik ha'kavur b'chevron l'kayim ma'ashenemar la'avram b'vis b'en abisarim ki ger yezaracha. All of these free choices were there to ultimately bring the world in a particular direction. The whole story is all about how these two hanhagos exist truly and simultaneously. But how? So first of all, we saw the Rambam at the beginning. The Rambam says that people have free choice. Every single Egyptian could have chosen to or not to persecute the Jewish people. And yet, within free choice, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could do it. It's like a computer program, computer games. So they let the players make certain choices, but they still lead them in a certain direction. That's limited because it's designed by humans. But with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's infinite wisdom and infinite power and infinite choices, he can allow people to freely make choices and yet lead them in a specific direction. Number two, it happens because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, while preserving free will, pushes the pieces in areas that are outside of the free will. The Ramban beautifully points this out in the story of Yosef. Yosef gets lost while looking for his brothers. Vayimtze'uhu ish v'hinei to'eh basadeh. He's found by a man. Chazal say, who is this man? Gavriel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent a malach to make sure he got to his brothers. That didn't inhibit his free will. And the Ramban beautifully points that out. That's the yesod here. Says the Ramban there, bottom source on your sheet. Ki agzera emes v'acharitzos sheker. If there's a gzera for this to happen, charitzos is sheker. There's nothing you could do to prevent this gzera from happening. You get lost, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to send you a malach to show you where to go. HaCharitzos sheker, agzera emes. So that's the second way in which he's able to carry out his plan without limiting free will, by sending messengers. Number three is the Ramban that we saw from this week's Parsha. The Ramban which says that the plan is going to happen, though it could happen in different ways. There was going to be that Gilui Kvod Yehudo. Viskadalti Viskadashti Leina Amim was going to happen anyway. It could have happened many ways. And thus, the plan can happen, though at the same time, we could still have freedom in terms of how exactly it happens. And thus, if Paro would have let them go l'shem shemayim, the plan would have happened one way, and otherwise it would have happened another way. So it happens. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was able to have a plan because the plan could be carried out in many ways, and that too preserves room for free choice. And finally, number four is what we saw before from the Ramchal, that there are certain times in history where Hanhagas HaYichud is more dominant than Hanhagas HaMishpat. And that's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan needs to be carried out. And thus, all of the world and all of history can be viewed in this lens with these two Hanhagos, with Hanhagas HaYichud and Hanhagas HaMishpat. And if we understand this, we will understand not just the previous week's Parshios about Yosef and these week's Parshios about the Jewish people going down and coming out of Egypt, but really all of history and all of current events. We don't always know why things happen. But we do know that it's there for a purpose. And despite people's free choices, ultimately, there's a goal, there's direction, and Bayomahu Yashem Echad Shmo Echad. Thank you very much. Yes? In the sense that people will be ultimately rewarded for... Yes, that's part of it, as he alludes to, because everybody gets will get what they deserve.
Does everyone hold by that? I would imagine maybe the Ramban would ascribe to that, or at least Hisham Dama Deyad kind of position.
I think that there's a lot of... In each of these particular points, there's a lot of machlokas, but the very basic idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that there's free will, but there's also purpose and direction, is an idea that I think everybody accepts. And like I said, that's mamash nipsukim afurish in the story of Yosef. So...
Okay. And then additionally, in terms of the green analogy, I mean, people would still know that. I mean, without the word green, people would still know that it's a certain, color.
No, they wouldn't. There wouldn't be a word
be
green.
Appreciate it as much, right?
I don't think they would note it. The concept wouldn't exist. If you live in a two-dimensional world, you can't imagine a third dimension.
Right, you can't imagine a new color.
That's the exact same name.
Ah, Roxy Vivanti.
Right, but I mean, everything would be, you know, would be Kabbalah Shemayim, so it would be like the only thing that's there.
Exactly. And therefore, there, that wouldn't be a true Kavod Shemayim, because there's no Havamina Fakert. In other words, we wouldn't say that that's not a Kavod Shemayim, but it's not a full Kavod Shemayim.
Is it that you wouldn't be able to appreciate it?
That's certainly part of it, yeah. Absolutely.
No, I'll listen to the last questions first.
With regards to Yosef and his brothers, if Yaakov had not chosen Yosef as the favorite, Yosef not wanted, if none of those things had happened, still, there was a purpose in the Jews going down to Mitzrayim, mm-hmm. possibly to have Yetzias Mitzrayim and the mm-hmm. purpose that would serve. So Hashem, so they, each character, Yaakov, Yosef, brothers, had a choice to Mishpat, to say, I'm not going to do the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm.
But even if they made the right choice and not done the right thing,
somehow or another, somehow it would have happened. How, we don't know, but yes, right, exactly. Right. That's exactly the point.
So there's an ultimate end, it's just you have two directions of how to get there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, so now...
Everybody else has asked these questions already?
If you want to join for lunch, just come down.
Okay.
It's in like the Heights Lounge area.
Okay, great.
I'm sorry.
No problem. The Ramchal says that there are times when one is more dominant over the other.
It could be either one.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So you still think that they're the same? Question.
I'm trying to organize the way the rest of your share progressed. So I was thinking of another question more than the first one.
Uh-huh, okay.
I have to do some more thinking about it. But in terms of in fact, this may be more answer giving your answer, you know, that they are in fact different, because foreknowledge versus free will doesn't really relate to Hanagos Hayichud necessarily at all.
Mm-hmm.
It just Hashem knows what people will be choosing entirely on their own.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't say this way, but a pure Hanagos Hamishpah would be reactive.
Yes.
Hanagos Hayichud is proactive.
Yes, that's a good way of putting it.
But in case when Hashem wants things to happen in a certain way,
mm-hmm.
so how does that not interfere? I mean, I'm sort of groping for how to phrase my thoughts in terms of